You're listening to Commute, the podcast. Congratulations, you'll be smarter when you get there.
What up? Welcome into Commute, the podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jay.
And we are about to take you on a deep dive on three topics that we find interesting, and we're betting that you might just find them interesting too. We can promise you this, you'll be smarter when you get there. On this edition of Commute, the internet is full of crazy ways to make money, but few are as crazy or creative as what Matt Farley does.
If you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, you're probably aware that there is an eclipse today. We'll talk about all the numbers behind it and answer important questions like, can my dog be outside during it?
7 hours, maybe eight. How much sleep do we really need? Well, a team of researchers decided to find out, and their findings were a little surprising. All of that on this edition of Commute. Let's get it. Jay, people make money in strange ways. Like, we live in a world where people put videos of themselves playing video games on YouTube, and other people, like my son, would rather watch that than an actual cartoon. But whether it be a YouTube streamer, someone selling a unique poster print, perhaps, on the site Etsy, or the kid down the street from me selling very weak lemonade. I hope he's listening, so he knows he needs to up his game. It just seems, Jay, to be in our DNA as humans to at least consider non-traditional ways from time to time to make a couple bucks. So how about you? Do you currently do anything unique to make some money? Or were you like me when you were a kid, when I tried to sell rocks to people that would come in my dad's small business, telling them that I had been to a mystical island called Skull Mountain and that these were special rocks they couldn't get anywhere else? I sold a few.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. That from a young age, you were already hustling people, shaking them down for all their money.
I'm like 7 or 8, you know, and people just, we're fine. And I'd go, okay.
Seven or eight is way too old to be doing that. Like, I thought you were going to be like, I was 5. Like, that makes sense. Okay, sure, you're 5, whatever. Here's a quarter.
5-year-olds don't have any business sense.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say unique. I do have a side hustle. You know, I'm a teacher, and so I also teach online. That was something that COVID sort of did for us.
I can also help the kids cheat.
I do have to bust a lot of cheaters online. But yeah, it's something COVID sort of changed. A lot of people went online to do their school and never came off. So
I also, when the Wii came out, this was like right when it came out. It's when I worked at Blockbuster. Blockbuster, every week, man, we got Blockbuster on here. But it's when I worked at Blockbuster, the Wii came out, nobody could get them. So I bought one and resold it, and these people drove to my house from like Ohio. I mean, they came like from a long way away and bought it for like 3 times the price.
So you just have a history of scamming people. It's just kind of in your DNA.
Scam. Hey, there was nothing wrong with it.
They're like, please, sir, it's Christmas. You're like, that'll be 3 times the price.
They were like,
we're buying it for our son. It's the only thing he wanted.
I'm like, well, then you better fork up the cash. It's going to be a bad Christmas. Well, Jay, a recent story I stumbled upon, written for the New York Times by a guy named Brett Martin, tells of a really interesting way that someone has discovered to make money, in part by using Brett Martin's name. You see, Martin randomly stumbled upon a song online by an artist named Papa Rizzy and the Photogs. The song's called Brett Martin, You a Nice Man. And naturally, Martin figured it was about a different Brett Martin. I mean, wouldn't you? It's kind of a common name, I'd say. But upon listening closely to the song lyrics, Jay, he realized it was actually about him. And Jay, at the end of the song is the phone number of who we could assume is the actual Papa Rizzy, asking Martin to call him so they could be real friends in real life. So Martin called it. Someone answered, and you bet it was Papa Rizzy, or the actual person behind Papa Rizzy, a guy named Matt Farley. Jay, Matt Farley didn't remember making the song about Martin, believe it or not, because Farley has now written, wait for it, over 24,000 songs. And for the last 2 decades, this is what Matt Farley has done for a living. He releases song after song about anything that a person could possibly think of. songs about jobs, songs about cars. There are songs that just name drop celebrities or movie directors, songs about every single movie that's probably ever come out. Jay, he has over 600 songs about inviting different named girls to the prom. And tons of songs that you and I, as fathers of young boys, can attest that this would be a hit and they would like, that just talk about poop, pee, and farts. Like, Jay, I'm sure my son would love Farley's hit song, Butt Cheeks, Butt Cheeks, Butt Cheeks.
Yeah, that's what you call high art.
And by doing this insane work, Farley, who releases his songs under tons of artist names, by the way, not just Papa Rizzy, has done what the New York Times refers to as the most elusive of goals. Jay, he earns a decent living just creating music for people to stream. In 2008, the Times reported that Farley's song-making hijinks took in about $3,000. And by 2012, that total had risen to $24,000. And as the music streaming services have grown in popularity, so has Farley's bank account. People like to criticize the whole streaming thing, but there's really a lot of pros to it, Farley told the Times. And Jay, he's right, at least financially. In 2023, his music reportedly earned him just shy of $200,000, about one half penny at a time. And his silly streaming helps him do other things besides just writing songs that repeat the names of people over and over. Jay Farley also writes screenplays, has podcasts, and is a published author. His streaming work typically involves one 50-song album per month. Then comes the work of song titles and metadata for search engine optimization. Then he sits back and enjoys the fruits of his labor. So what do we make of someone like Farley? A con artist or a man who saw an opportunity and went for it? Well, getting back to Brett Martin, the man who wrote the story about Farley, who actually spent some time with him and got to know him a little bit. Martin says he's pretty normal. A family man who doesn't do drugs, doesn't ever drink alcohol, and just so happens to have made nearly $500,000 off of his fake band, The Toilet Bowl Cleaners, and their lead single, There's Poop in My Fingernail.
Of course, that's what it's called. I mean, this is capitalism at work, you know? I mean, this is the opportunity was seized, and it paid off. But I also feel like this is sort of you missing your calling as someone who I've heard probably come up with thousands of songs in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, kind of is. And I have some songs. I have some songs that my wife, like really stupid stuff, as you know, that my wife will just start singing randomly.
Yeah, you wrote a song about a funeral procession randomly like 4 years ago, and I still sing it every single time a funeral procession drives by me. Like, even now, it's just stuck in my head forever.
It's called It's a Sign of Respect. It's about pulling over as a funeral comes by. I'll sing it for you if you want. Can you sing it for the listeners?
I mean, I think they deserve to hear it.
It's a sign of respect for those gone too soon. It's a sign of respect for the day. It's a sign of respect for those gone too soon. It's a sign, it's a sign, it's a sign, it's a sign of respect.
I mean, you have that forever now. So Dave, if you're listening to this on Monday when it comes out, there is an eclipse today. Are you planning on catching the eclipse when it passes? I mean, we are not in what is called like the totality area, which means that like it's not crossing right over us where we are. We live in West Virginia, and I did read that when that happens, it will happen, but it's not going to happen until we're like 100 years old. So we might not be here for that. And
I'll be here. For
if
sure.
We are, you know, it probably won't be in a state of probably being able to enjoy it too much. But are you planning on catching the eclipse? I guess today, if you're listening to this.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah, definitely going to watch it. I mean, I have some friends who are driving to places that have pitched themselves. Like, there are people who have, like, farms, and they're saying, hey, you can come park here for $10, just hang out all day and watch the eclipse, which is a really good idea. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even be against that if life were a little bit different right now, but I'm definitely going to hang out and watch it.
Now, one thing I'm concerned about for you is you know that you can't just look at it, right? And you can't just look at it with cool guy sunglasses on either. I'm
That's
a little worried for you
concern.
About that.
That because is a you're legitimate kind of, concern
and
for me.
And you know this is true, you kind of like sacrifice usefulness for style. So, like, for example, it'll be like really cold and you'll have like a jean jacket on and you're like, I can't ditch the jean jacket. And it's like, but you're going to freeze. And you're like, but the jean jacket's cool.
You're not wrong, man. Like, I have a shirt.
You're like afraid somebody, you're afraid somebody will take a picture of you like in those dorky glasses.
Like, I have a shirt that's really itchy. It has a tag that's super itchy, but it's a super cool shirt. So I'm miserable when I wear it, but I wear it all the time just because it's too cool. It's too cool not to wear it.
Well, Dave, today, if you're listening to this, like we said, on the morning that the episode comes out, from about 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, the moon will cross in front of the sun, creating a shadow on the Earth. The shadow will streak across the coast of Mexico, through Texas, just over Arkansas, Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, and then through northern Maine. The shadow zips across the Earth's surface at 2,300 miles an hour. And while the length of the path stretches for 9,190 miles and averages 109 miles in width, it covers only 0.005% of the total Earth's surface at a time. Total solar eclipses in particular locations, Dave, are also really rare and only happen on average once every 375 years, depending obviously on how everything is lined up and where you are. Depending on the circumstances, totality can last for a few seconds or up to about 7 minutes. And if you're in the central eclipse line today, you'll see the eclipse for about 3.5 minutes. Now, Dave, if you're planning on catching the big event, there is one rule, like we said, that you must not break, which is you can never stare directly into the sun during an eclipse. The sun is the most powerful source of energy in the solar system. When light enters our eye, the lens focuses it onto the retina, which has chemical sensors that pick up on the presence of light and then send that information to the brain. And the retina can handle indirect sunlight just fine. But when the lens is focused directly on the sun, even if the rays are going around the moon, that is a different story. Joel Schumann told Vox in 2017 that the light from the sun is very intense and concentrated into a very small area. And then that light is converted into heat, and that heat cooks the retina. So you have a permanent area that you don't see, a permanent blind spot. What's worse, a retina burn doesn't heal like a sunburn on the skin. It actually doesn't heal at all. And Dave, since the retina is a nerve and nerve tissue, it does not regenerate. Louis Tomasoski, an Oregon man who was partially blinded during a total solar eclipse in 1963, told NBC that it only took about 20 seconds of staring for the damage to be done, which he described. Yeah, which he describes now as like looking at someone and being able to see their face, but not their nose. So to take the event, Dave, you'll need some eye protection, but regular sunglasses, like we mentioned, will not do the trick. You'll need special glasses that block out most ultraviolet light and infrared as well. Even looking through a camera isn't safe without the extra protection. NASA even warns against ordering the glasses on Amazon or Temu at the risk of buying counterfeit ones. There actually is an approved manufacturing list published by the American Astronomical Society that you probably should consult. Now, pinhole projectors, which can be made pretty easily, are also fairly safe ways to view the eclipse. But then past us, is it safe for our pets to be outside during the eclipse? As it turns out, probably. Dr. Jessica Vogelsang, a veterinarian, told Snopes in 2017 this, "It's hard for me to criticize such a well-meaning warning because there's really no harm in following the advice to keep pets inside during the eclipse. It's better to be too cautious than not cautious enough, but in the interest of offering a realistic risk assessment, the likelihood of a pet ruining their eyes the same way a human would during an eclipse is much lower, not because the damage would be any less were they to stare at the sun, but because from a behavior standpoint, dogs and cats just don't have any interest in doing so. We tend to extrapolate a lot of things from people to pets that just doesn't bear out, and this is one of them." And Dave, she continued to say, "It's not like there's a big outcry from the wildlife community to go chase down coyotes and hawks and bears and give them goggles either." Now, while some will point out that the eclipse itself could weird your pets out, like just the darkness and the suddenness of all that, for most animals, they really won't know what they're missing. But one thing that is undeniable, Dave, eclipses are good for business. For example, the Dallas-Fort Worth area is expecting a $700 million bump from people traveling to their city to view the event, which includes a nearly $180 million boost for the restaurant industry and an over $220 million boost for hotels.
So two things. One, what if it's cloudy today?
Then it's just, I guess you're going to have to wait for a while to see
what the next bummer one. I mean, that could happen. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good chance. Man, that's sad. I'm sad just thinking about that. The other thing is about staring at the sun. So you talking about that guy staring at the sun for 20 seconds is just bizarre. But this is according to an astronomy website, and it's about your telescope usage. And one of the answers is, one of the questions is, will staring at the sun through a telescope cause you to go blind? And the answer is, if you look at the sun through a telescope, you will burn your retina and blind yourself.
I feel like we live in an age, though, that, like, on Tuesday, the most popular video on, like, TikTok and YouTube will be, like, stare at the sun challenge. Like, watch me stare at the eclipse for 50 seconds or something like that and permanently ruin my vision for likes.
Jay, simple question. How much sleep do you get? Because we both have a lot of factors, with kids obviously being one, that cause us to miss some sleep. But how much sleep do you typically get?
I think, like with most people sort of in my phase of life who have young kids, I probably could do better about it. I get about 6 hours of sleep on average. I have to get up really early to be able to get everybody to school, and then I teach at a school, and you know, school's just open early. So I got that at play, and then I'm just kind of in that phase where it's like my kids go to bed and you have those couple hours and you're like trying to cram all the things you want to do into those hours, like all the shows you want to watch. If there's like a game on, like you want to finish that. So I end up kind of staying up a little bit too late most nights.
Yep, I'm the same. It's called night revenge. Yeah. Basically, it's future you. So the person you are when you wake up in the morning will be sleepy and suffer because the you right now just needs some time to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like nighttime can't stop,
me.
Won't stop.
Nighttime me is so selfish. Like it just same. Just steals it all. Doesn't even care.
I'm like, all right. So there's an NBA game on. It's the Hornets and the Kings. Two teams I could care less about. I might as well. I'm gonna get some Cheez-Its and watch it. But Jay, we all know it. The consensus passed down through decades of PSAs: adults should try to get 8 hours of sleep. Some people, like me, are happy with at least getting 6 hours, like you said. Others, like athletes, such as retired wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, have said that they tried, especially during his playing career, to get 11 or 12 hours of sleep. So, Jay, how much sleep do we actually need? Could Larry Fitzgerald's amount of sleep help or hurt us normal people? Well, thankfully, a recent study by cognitive neuroscientist Adrian Owen helps shed some light on this. Owen and his team utilized a study of over 10,000 people from around the world who self-reported their typical sleep patterns. And Jay, the findings were interesting. No surprise, the study did find that less than 7 hours of sleep is detrimental to your overall performance. But it also found something else. More than 8 hours was often equally as detrimental. Jay, the study found that oversleeping often leads to a unique form of grogginess called sleep inertia, which depends in part on which part of the sleep cycle you're in when you wake up. Most people can appreciate the idea that you don't want to make a life-changing decision 3 minutes after you wake up, Owen said. And even simple, seemingly inconsequential choices, what to wear, what to eat, whether to cycle or drive or work, they impose a cognitive load on an overtaxed brain. Owen says sleeping longer may prolong this critical period of sleep inertia. I would certainly say if you've gotten too much sleep, hold off on any major decisions until the following day, he says. But Jay, not to fear. Owen's work found that this isn't true of everyone. Some people kind of need to sleep, like koalas or bears that are in hibernation. Owen said that most people with a healthy exercise routine require more sleep, or those that exert a lot of energy do as well. And the study also found that it's pretty easy to get back on track if sleep is leaving you foggy. A single night of optimal sleep, again, a single night of optimal sleep, typically in the 7 to 8 hour range, is all it takes, according to Owen, to reboot your system. But Jay, I don't know. I don't know that I'll ever sleep 8 hours again, at least not for the next like 18 years with my kids. And I always go to bed on Friday night thinking, you know, I might get just a little extra sleep tomorrow. I'm going to, instead of setting my alarm like I do during the weekdays for 5:45, I'm going to set it for like 7:30. But nope, the kids always wake up on Saturday, actually earlier than they do Monday through Friday. So I don't even need the alarm clock. I'm usually up at like 5:30.
It's like what makes you sad is you know how much it would improve your life. Like if you just went to bed at 9, like you would feel so good during the day. Like you would walk around like you own the place. You'd probably be so much more productive, but you just can't.
Like once a month, seriously, like once a month, I think I'm getting the flu. And it'll be like 6 or 7 p.m. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I got chills. I feel horrible. I think I just need to go to sleep. So I'll go to sleep. I'll wake up in the morning, totally fine. It's like nothing. It's like my body just dies once a month.
It's like sending you a message. And it's like, please do this every night, please.
Just think what we could be capable of.
We've already shut down and you're shoving Cheez-Its down here. Stop it.
I tell you what, the extra toasty Cheez-Its. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review Commute on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast network. We're on social. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can always say what up at our website, commutethepodcast.com. Music for Commute is provided by my main man, Jason Sammons. For Jasis, and I'm Dave Traub. We'll see you next week. I also have one that Jen sings a lot about Christmas. It's called Here We Are. It's Christmas time for me. It's time to get the presents. It's time to get the tree.
And that's it.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Later, you'll be about to go to bed and you'll go, here we are.
Yeah, that's true.